At that time, I didn't think I could speak English. Forget about good English. And Luther turned over to me and he said, I don't know you, but I know people that know you. And he said, keep studying. Be your own student. Never forget that, Ralph. Never forget it. Because I have heard that same statement made by so many good men and women. Soul, I give it to you. Because it is really worth its weight. James chapter 2. The scripture that is ours this afternoon is a scripture that will help us introduce not only the context, but the subject matter that has brought us together this evening. James writes in chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. These verses are found in a certain context. And that one is beginning with verse 14 on down to verse 26 of the second chapter of James. We already know that James has a theme in mind when he writes this general epistle. And the theme is very simple. Hear and do the Word of God. It's that simple. Someone said that a lot of what James writes exemplifies the words of Jesus. Well, when you go back to Matthew, his writing of what Jesus taught, he records those words that challenged the disciples. Blessed is a man that does, that hears and does the will of God. Jesus made statements several times. Don't call me Lord, Lord. If you do, do what I say. Paraphrasing. So it is not something new when we come to understanding the writings of James that he takes up that same language, the same commandments, to do the will of the Lord. Let me read from verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. It should not surprise us that people have different concepts of the words that we just finished reading. Some came to the conclusion that the writings of James contradicted the writings of Paul, the apostle. Some even concluded that the book of James did not belong in the New Testament, that it was not a part of the canon of the New Testament because it seemed to contradict the belief that a sinner is saved by faith only. Because of these different concepts, there has been much discussion concerning this particular context of chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We know that. Those of us that are Christians are fully aware. But in the context of speaking and teaching concerning faith and works, James does not say that faith is not important. James does not belittle faith. But listen, he does not belittle works. The point is very simple. Faith and works go hand in hand. That's the summation, as simple as it can be. But in this context, there are those among the readers of this epistle that were under the impression that believed that a person could be saved by faith alone. That the need of works was not there. Some were under the impression that this faith was so powerful, they believed God, they believed His Word, that that was sufficient. That was enough. So James addresses this particular issue. And when he addresses this particular issue, he goes into dealing with some examples, writing about Abraham, for example, and about Rahab, which the readers were very much aware of, because of their knowledge of the Old Testament, that they could not do anything with these examples. as we shall see in our lesson this evening. And he uses a very strong worded statement, which serves as the title of our lesson tonight. The faith of demons. Can you imagine him saying, even demons believe and tremble? And he said this in comparison to their belief. Yeah, I'm more than sure that some raised at least an eyebrow and said, wait a minute. Are you saying we're demons? Are you saying we are like demons? Well, the conclusion was somewhere in the ballpark. To some extent, that was right. Because the illustration served to prove the point. So when we consider the things that James has to say, let me point out to you that when he speaks of the faith of demons, it was really and truly the faith of evil spirits. Now, we don't have the time to go into all, and there are many scriptures in the New Testament that help us understand who these evil spirits are. First of all, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 21, we find an example of how Jesus healed many people, and the writer says, of evil spirits. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, Luke brings us up to date about a certain woman who was very popular and very well known in the scriptures as Mary Magdalene. And he mentions that of her, seven demons were removed. And then in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 28, we have here an example of Jesus dealing with an unclean spirit. And it says in chapter 1, verse 23 of Mark, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So you see that the scriptures do teach, do tell us, do inform us of demons. And in comparison, is speaking of them as evil spirits, as unclean spirits, if you please. These demons, evil and unclean spirits, nothing good could come from them or by them. James says that these believed and recognized, that is, they acknowledged God. These were those that said, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So it says. So, just from this particular reading, it is easy for us to conclude that the faith of demons, it was believing that there is one God, just like James said. But without works. Isn't it strange? No, it's not strange. There are examples of the statements made by James, as we have just read. When we consider exactly what he said, he wrote there in James chapter 2 and verse 19, you, that is, these people that were claiming to have faith without works, you believe that God is one, you do well. That's great that you believe that God is one. Even the demons believe the same thing. And having said that, when James makes the statement that you believe that God is one, we have to return to Mark, but this time to chapter 12. And we will be reminded of the words that James' brother wrote and spoke, that is. And these words are recorded by Matthew and also by Mark. But let us read the account of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28, 29, and 30. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. We all know that the words that are here spoken by the Lord in verse 29 and 30 and the ones that were written by James in chapter 2 in verse 19, these come from the Old Testament. The Lord thy God is one. Well, let me just give you something extra here. I will not charge you. When he speaks that the Lord is one, it is not a numerical one, but it is a united one. God is a united one, and by that, it goes on to prove the point of the deity. And, of course, it proves the fact that there is only one deity. But don't make the mistake that some people make by saying that it's only one person in the deity. That's not the point. The point is one united. That's the word. That's how the word is used. But the point is that both Jesus and James are saying one and the same thing, and that is that the demons believe that the Lord is one. And you know what he says? James says, he said, you do well by believing this. Well, of course, it was well done. Because that's exactly what was being taught. The point here is that in Mark chapter 1, verse 24, when the evil spirit says, I know who you are, and in chapter 4 of Luke, verse 41, you are the Christ, the Son of God, those are very strong admissions. Those are very strong words that these demons are admitting to, that
they recognize, they acknowledge Christ, they acknowledge who He was, and they said, "We know who You are. You are the Son of God." But when we go back to James chapter 2, some Christian was saying in verse 14, someone says he had faith, but does not have works. And James asked the question, okay, you say you have faith only. Can that faith save him? Is that sufficient to save that particular man? And then in verse 15 and 16, he goes on to say, what does it profit? If you do not have works with faith, what good is it? Surely, faith alone is useless, does not profit, it is unproductive, it is inefficient, it is futile. That's what James is saying concerning this. But let me show you something else. The faith of demons was that faith that made demons shudder. The New King James uses the word tremble. And when we read the scriptures, like for example over in Mark chapter 1 and verse 24, the writer, according to Mark, listen to what they say. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And then in chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me. These were words of reactions. Isn't it strange? Of course it's not strange. It goes hand in hand. Now, Luke and Matthew both have the same account of Jesus having to deal with these unclean spirits, these evil spirits. What did they do? What could they do? All they could say was, do not torment me. Because they had no power other than just to enter a person and cause all of this, all of these issues, and that was it. There was nothing good coming out from these demons. But their worries was that something surely would be coming in the future. These demons understood they were dealing with the Son of God. But let me point something else. This faith of demons, it was not the faith of Abraham. This was not the faith that Abraham had, the father of the Jews. And when we go back to James chapter 2, we know that to be a fact because James uses the example of Abraham. I think that it is very powerful what he
writes in verse 20 of chapter 2. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Now that question really hit them between the eyes. You want examples? You want illustrations? You want me to tell you? You want me to give you an example of what we're talking about? You want to be shown? You want to see for yourself? You want to know for yourself? You foolish person. Wow. That's hard. That showed that James knew exactly what kind of people he was dealing with, right? Okay, here it is. You want to see? I'll give you this. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Let us just let that sink in for a minute. Our father Abraham. Why, there were candles lighted all over the place for Abraham in every Jewish family. Each one knew exactly who Abraham was. They knew that story upside down, right side up. They knew exactly what had happened with Abraham and how he was justified by God Almighty when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar. It was a story known from the children on up. You see, you foolish people, you see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed, that is, made perfect by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled. Now, you can't deny this. You can't deny what the scriptures say. Abraham believed God. There's the faith. And it was counted to him as righteousness. What was counted righteousness? His faith, but it was counted righteousness because he worked at his faith. And he was called a friend of God. Look at it again. You see, you foolish person, that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. You see it. Show me, I'll show you. You want examples? I'll give you the example of Abraham. The Christians claiming that faith was sufficient. And the Jews among the Christians knew well the case of Abraham. This was not the faith of demons. Because the demons acknowledged God. They recognized Him and they knew who Christ was. But that was it. They didn't do nothing else. So the faith of demons, it was not the faith of Abraham. And James adds there at the end of verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. It's good for nothing. I was telling some of you about a good friend of mine. We had supper with him a couple of weeks ago, and we met his dog, big old boxer that they have at home. And this good brother was describing his dog. We saw him, just as big as an elephant,
And our grandkids ask him, well, what does he do? Does he roll over? No. Does he bark? No. Does he bite? No. Well, what's his name? Useless. That's his name. That kind of fits in here, don't it? What good is faith without works? Useless. It's good for nothing. It's dead. Now, having said all of that, verse 20, he asks, can that faith save him? Well, it's dead. It's useless. It's dead again. Cannot justify. So what does it do? It doesn't do anything. So when you see that, then we must ask. And we must know for sure that the faith of demons, it was the faith that did not justify. It follows, that is the conclusion, or the only thing that follows here is the fact that the faith of demons and the faith of Christians who argued faith only did not and could not justify. Look at the context. Verse 14. Can that faith save him? James asks. Well, what good is a faith that is dead? Verse 20. It's useless. I know I'm repeating myself, but I can't help it. In verse 24, he cannot be justified by faith alone. And in verse 26 again, he's dead. So when you see this, we understand that there is something that has to be understood once and for all. That when James is addressing this matter, he was not talking to the unconverted. This is where it becomes so important to recognize context. This is where it becomes so important to recognize those words and verses that are connected. For example, in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers? 14 different times in this epistle, James refers to his readers as brethren. How many times? Count them. I counted 14 times. If I'm wrong, correct me. Who was he writing to? He was writing to Christians. And I know that many mistakes have been made when reading verses 14 through 26 and make application to those that have not been baptized. Now, I must admit, I have to, because that's the truth, that outside of this context, that is a true statement. There are other scriptures that teach that in their context. But here, James is bringing this to a conclusion by recognizing that he is dealing with brethren. He is dealing with Christians. My brethren, my brothers. Listen, these arguments are presented by people just like you and I, who were immersed in water for the remission of their sins, who heard the gospel. We studied about this already in chapter 1. That received the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were born again. That were forgiven. That they were added to the Lord's body. They were first fruits of creation, if you please. So James, writing to Christians, addressing this matter to Christians, so the application is for Christians. The reader's faith must be more and better than the faith of demons. Bring it home. Bring it home. The faith of Christians today must be a faith that is more and better than the faith of demons. But also consider that our faith must be a complete faith. I like what James writes in verse 22 concerning the faith of Abraham. The last words of that verse 22. And faith was completed by his works. What a statement. It was made perfect. It was made complete by his works. And dearly beloved, that applies to us today. Our faith must be a complete faith. It must be a faith of works. Well, you may be asking, like some have asked, what kind of works are required? Show me. Tell me. Some years ago, I heard a good brother preach on this epistle of James. And he said at the very beginning that this epistle was the show me epistle. How true that is. Because that's, in essence, what we're talking about. Show me your faith. Show me that you're a Christian. Show me that you have a faith that is complete. Well, what are the works? What can I do, brother? Tell me. I don't know what to do in the church. You know, I don't know what to do as a Christian. Well, let's let James tell us, okay? Look at chapter 1 and verse 22. Here's what we can do. But be doers of the word, and not only what? Hearers. So we get the right idea from the very beginning here that James is telling these Christians, do what the word says. You have obeyed the gospel. You are Christians. You are a member of the body of Christ. Continue to receive the word, but be doers of the word. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You know, we're already beginning to get an idea what it means to have works. The good work of knowing when to speak. The good work of knowing when to shut up. Knowing when to remain silent. There's a time to speak. And not only that, but James makes the statement to be slow in speaking. There in verse 19. But follow me now in verse 28. What is the work? Well, religion that is pure
and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Well, that's the love of your fellow man. That's something else that you can do. And then to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's a work. That's something that you can do. You can help. You can visit. You can encourage. You can do a lot of good to those brethren who are in need, whether it be spiritual need or whether it be material need. And you can help yourself by remaining holy, working in holiness. Look at chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Well, here's the opportunity to help a brother that needs clothing, someone that is in need of daily food. Here's something that you can do. There are elderly people in all congregations. And I must tell you that some of the most neglected people in a congregation are the elderly. I lie not. What we could do to individually help, here it is spoken clearly. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Be wise. And be wise by having a good conduct. That's a work of faith, according to James. Then in verse 17 and 18, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So there you have a pretty good idea. There's other scriptures that could be read, I'm sure. But these should suffice to give us an idea as to how and what we can do to demonstrate our faith. And here is the application. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But that's not all there is to it. And that's the point. You've been a good audience, and thank you so much.